The official section in the house, dans la maison, and this is the, as I was saying, this is the press conference of the official section film, dans la maison in French, in the house in English. We've got for this the director, François Ozon, Fabrice Lucchini, Erika Mayer, and Juan Mayor, the producer, and the author of the book that the film's based on. Upon the first question, please, just here. My question is for the director. I would like to know whether at any time you believe that Claude could end up murdering the other... Well, that's just a proposal for the many endings that Claude proposes to his teacher. Yes, it was all possible. And that's what I most liked in Juan's and his work. When he installs a device, the story can be told and it can take many different directions. That's what Germain says. It could be a thriller or a melodrama. It could go anyway or towards a suspense. It's all possible. What's a lot of fun is that we started to project this with the audience of people who imagined endings that were completely different, so as that they'd entered into the game of the film itself, and they started to imagine that the truth is that Claude, for example, could end up killing the family, that Germain kills his wife. It's all possible and imaginable. Good morning. My question is for the director, for François Ozon. The truth is that the story and education, you've also worked with the world of education in previous films. What attracts you so much of the world of education? What does it have to make you, what has it interested you to make this film, which was very well made, by the way, the truth is? No, I've never made any film with vis-a-vis education. No, not at all. This is my first film, but what interests me is that relationship between the teacher and the student, because I come from a family of teachers. My parents were teachers, both of them. I've lived in that atmosphere. And in this work, he recognized elements that I lived through with my parents as a student. I continue to consider myself a student, so therefore I identified myself with Claude's character. And this film perhaps pays tribute to certain teachers that I've had have been very important in my life in the construction of my work. Yes, I think Eric Romer, who was a teacher of mine, a cinema teacher, a teacher, a filmmaker, and he also worked with Fabrice, the director. There's a link between both of us. He was also your teacher as well. Is that true? Congratulations for the film. I love the film. I would like to know whether you've wanted to say that the imagination has no age. At the beginning, the protagonist says that he's being told things that are insubstantial, but then the young man or the young student gives him, the teacher, the inspiration that he never had. Thank you. You want to answer, Juan? Yes. You answer for me. He's the author of the book. The question was asked. They asked for the director, and I want to thank Francois for allowing me to speak and give me the floor. I want to take full advantage of this moment to thank him for him wanting me to be here in this press conference. I understand this gesture as a gesture of one creator to another, very generous on his behalf and gratuitous. If I weren't here, no one would miss me. And I want to thank him very much for him wanting me to be here. The truth is, the work talks about imagination. It talks about the need of imagining. Why? Because life is not enough. Because the world is not enough. We all need to be like the Sultan of Sherazade, and we need to be told. We need stories to be told to us. And that is in my book, and it's also in the magnificent film that Francois has made and that I saw this morning, and I saw it holding my breath, so that I think it's a magnificent film, and it's not only a film that confirms what I wrote in the book, but it traps it, it encompasses the spirit of what I wrote in the book, and it displaces it. In the most noble sense of the word, it's a very rich sense of the word. It's a perfect translation, and this is formidable. It makes each viewer a creator and a critic. A reviewer at the same, permanently it's calling the imagination of the people who watch it, the audience. And so in the same way, Claude, to a certain extent, encourages the imagination of Germain, his teacher. François Ozon has managed to make each viewer who watches it to want to write his own script and make their own film. And I think that's quite extraordinary and magical at the same time. I would like to ask François Ozon, the director, there's a sort of a teaching spirit in the film. You talk about the script structure of telling a story. You talk about elements of the analysis, art analysis. That teaching spirit, was that in the work, or did you want to show it to the spectators or to the viewers or the audience? It was there. It was already in the work, in the book. So therefore, my work to adapt it means that we've taken out some of the elements, because Juan's work is very rich. And sometimes you've got to betray the original, but you've got to transmit what moves you in the book from his work. What I've taken is what moved me emotionally, and I can also apply it in my work as a filmmaker and as a scriptwriter and as a screenwriter. Yes. To the author, we see a perfect timing between the when he tells the story, the student, and what the filmmaker is telling us. The question is, how do you see that balance which exists between the written text that he's reading it in off, as well as the magnificent audiovisual text done by Mr. Ozon? I think François has done something which is extraordinary, and that is he manages to make the images on the screen, or what we're watching on the screen, that doesn't repeat the words, but it enters into a rich song, shall we say, between the images and words. They create the images and the literature, the image of the bodies in space, and that's spatially, they enter into a rich, productive tension with words, with literature, and that provokes a turbulence, and it generates a sort of a storm in the people who watch the film. And that's what he manages to do with formidable images, with a sense of timing and rhythm which is extraordinary. And undoubtedly he achieves it with a cast of great actors, enormous actors, I would say. And I also take full advantage to respect the work as an actor, Fabrice Lucchini, who I think he does an extraordinary recreation of this character. I always say that a text knows things that the author doesn't know. When an actor is able to discover injuries and lights and shades that you didn't even have an intuition of, that you dreamed of one day, and therefore a miracle has occurred, and Fabrice has managed to do this. When the teacher tells the student, it's not what you say, but what's between the lines. What's between the lines of the boy's world and his hand or the narrator? What's between the lines in your story? The tone, I think it's the tone what bothers him. And that's what's between the lines is the tone. It's the form, irony. I think as regards to the first, in the script, yes, I think that's what you're referring to. Is that correct? Yes. This question brings along another enormous question. I feel very impressed by, I didn't know Spain, but I'm very impressed by this discussion. That's a very interesting discussion, very interesting and intelligent question. This country, just like France, is going through difficult times. I see that It's a country which is very demanding, and to find a meaning of life without being intellectual. And I just like this film, and the way it's being taken in here in San Sebastian shows to what extent the intelligence and the thought and the metaphysical immensity of these people goes beyond all the horrors and the terrors that the European people are going through at the present moment. I think there's an enormous greatness when we're saying that what's between the lines. That's the problem that the actor, he never interprets the words or his dialogues, but he does. The words are the scars of a poet, as a French poet said. An actor doesn't say words, mechanically speaking, or simply to say them, his dialogues. He's got to reinstitute what Jouer said, the scars of the poet. The words are not just words. Words are states, colors, lights. These are alignments or adhesions or feelings and states of the human soul, and art at this level. And if Francois Ozon's film manages to do this, which is very difficult for me, I can't know this because I was very involved, but there is a French actor, Michel Bouquet, the greatest of the French actors, said something which can be applicable to everything in our life, with our partners or relationships between men and women. Michel Bouquet said, a work is interesting and fundamental if it teaches us something about ourselves. Dostoevsky also, I didn't sleep too much, I'm an insomniac, I was reading this Dostoevsky in this very noisy hotel where I'm staying, and Dostoevsky says something which is incredible that I discovered this evening, man is a mystery. We have to discover that mystery, but if we base our life upon this, we won't have to say that we've wasted our time. I occupy myself with this mystery because I want to be a man, and this transcends Marxist or liberal proposal. This is the true issue. And if the Francois Ozon's film, and I hope there aren't too many commercial distributors here, but because otherwise they're going to run out the door because of what I'm saying. They'll say, well, gosh, this film is a philosophical film. Well, the truth is not a philosophical film. It was an enjoyable film, but a three level, with one level of pleasure, organic and immediate pleasure, a second level of reflection for those people who want to reflect and think about things. But it's a film that, like Francois Truffaut said, it's a film whose ambition is to entertain. And yes, just like Molière, Francois Ozon is going to go even further than Molière. He's going to fall into a depression after this film festival. And he may end up committing suicide. He may stop being a director because Spain has given him such a level of demand that his nights and his worst nightmares, he'll wake up and say, Dostoevsky, Marx, or Freud, Marx, what? No, I just wanted to make a film. Not even the devil in his dreams will say, no, you made a great film. The author of the theater, the playwright, who, because I also want to say something to him. How humble was he? Lack of arrogance. Jean Cocteau said in France that the French were Italians, but with a bad humor. Jean Cocteau saw, and I repeat this because it's my favorite phrase, he said, it's a phrase of La Fontaine when he talks about Spain, magnificent phrase, and I've already said it. It said, Victor Hugo, and did I talk about Victor Hugo before? No, at a moment in which your country is just like our country, that's the situation now. Yes, you've also been a very powerful country, and now I'm going to quote Ruy Blas when he sees all of these Spanish ministers and I read that famous text that admires Spain because Victor Hugo comes in and says, hey, enjoy, because the ministers were saying, hey, give me the black beer and I'll give you the half of Brazil. Give me all your black people and I'll give you half of Brazil. But now there's nothing to share. Now the case is we distributed what we had in the past, and the character by Ruy Blas, played or written by Victor Hugo, says, enjoy, gentlemen. Bon appetit. What a band of morons, and the ministers who are very integral, who say, well, that's right. You are the servers. Aren't you ashamed? And you decide now in this dark hour where Spain is agonizing and is crying, don't you have any other interest just to worry about filling your pockets with money? You should be ashamed of yourselves between this country, you who come from to steal from us. Even in your burial, I could in your tomb, I could speak for an hour. But what I think is admirable is this author, the Spanish author, who's taking notes for his next book. As you can see, has had the delicacy and the intelligence, and the humbleness and the talent, an enormous talent, something incredible. Just like your country, I think it's extraordinary. I was very surprised to see to what extent, when we left our country in France. And this, I'm not being demagogical, I think it's quite extraordinary. I think it's quite extraordinary, your courtesy, your talent. And now I want to pay tribute to this playwright and author who has talked about this film in admirable terms. And that's what I wanted to say. Here, being in, here in Spain, in the Spanish state, who's going through difficult times, but we'll make it, we'll get Anne LaFontaine that was saying, and this is the phrase finally, it's going to be a bit difficult to translate it, I imagine, I don't know. This great actor, I'm very sorry, great interpreter, he says. Another phrase by LaFontaine. Who's going to translate all of this? We are. Yes. Yes, I'm giving us a lot of work for the interpreters. Yes, it's a fable by LaFontaine where he says, to believe that you're a character, we believe, we take ourselves as a great character, and this is something that happens a lot in France. Quite often, we believe that they're important people, but we're not very important people, we're just bourgeois people, aren't we? And that's the we're too vain, we French people, we're too vain, that vanity, that's French vanity, that's specific to us, the French, but the Spanish are proud. That's right, they're very proud. And they were in the 17th century. The Spaniards are proud, but their pride at the end of the day is not such a stupid pride. They've got reasons to be and to do so.
Un Coca Light. J'ai besoin.
Give me a. I need a Diet Coke. I need a Diet Coke. Can someone give me a Diet Coke, please? Somebody? Let's continue with the questions, please. Questions for the author and for the director, please. Hi, good afternoon. I come from Mexico, and we've also got great problems in Mexico as well. And unfortunately, European cinema takes a long time to come to Mexico. This film will probably arrive in about a year's time. It's a delicious film, I would say, because it starts with a great sort of like game, and it turns into a thriller almost. And so I would like to know whether, and I know because of it's my Mexican mentality, because I've got a lot of concerns on my, whether Claude can be a great imposter and nothing has really happened, and that the teacher has gone crazy and he's fallen into this game, and at the end of the day he's fooled him completely. Can we read the film that way? What do you say? I don't know. Well, it's true. It's false. Is it true? Is it false? Like Juan said, everyone's got to make their own film. I think it's very interesting, your point of view. As a Mexican, I think it's great. You realize this? I've tried to install, I use that as a device, but everyone can read whatever they want to into it. That's the idea of the film, and that's what I loved the most. Not so much the events or what happens, but the way we tell the story, and that's what I like the most. And above all, how those two characters, the teacher and the student, need each other mutually in order to be able to survive, because they are not adapted to reality. They can't adapt themselves. They need fiction. And that's why I decided to finish the film like this, with this couple, these two men, who are going to continue to tell stories to each other. And if I can allow me to continue, you'll see whether I know whether you agree. That was the supreme ambition of it, and that without any evil American film, the entertaining film, sometimes puts the viewers and the audience under as if it were a heavy slab. But my work in France means what I want to do is to give the actor elements so that they can feel and act themselves as actors in the film, not only a passive consumer who's eating his or her whatever it is in the film, watching the film, and so therefore he's got an enormous dignity, and that's my ambition. at least in France, with my with this show, with my show. Everyone's got to have images. If those images, or La Fontaine or whatever, each spectator's got their own images. And one final anecdote, when you go to the US and you say canard, duck, all the Americans have got the same image, but in Europe, or what's left of Europe, there's not much left of Europe anymore, but we've still got a little bit. If you say canard, in a poem by La Fontaine, each of us will have an image of a duck, which is a different duck one from the other. And if we want to conserve the singularity or uniqueness of this admirable Europe, which has to continue to exist, that's where we will be allowed to overcome in the final project. Because the objective of an artist, with each and every one of us say duck, everyone's got to be different from our neighbors, and we've got to look, and when we say duck, we think of a different duck. Why don't you become a politician? Talking about eating something in the cinema, I remember a teacher who's looking for imagination and he's looking for his own literary content. It turns out he goes to the cinema and eats something. Like, yes, it's the irony, isn't it? Yeah, that's the irony. He hates them. He hates eating anything in the cinema, but he's an actor. He does what? Popcorn, not eating popcorn. Lozon, he wanted to transgress. If the lady from Mexico leaves, she's got to catch a flight. Viva you. Hola, and see you soon, Mexico. He's singing the beautiful woman from Cadiz.
Mexico. C'est génial, hein? Ça marche vachement bien, ce truc-là.
This is great. This works very, very well, this device. How much have we got all the time like we got left? First of all, congratulations for the film. The film is marvelous, the truth be said. I'm interested in knowing what place does art have in this film, which has a lot to do with life, has so much to do with life, because I perceive a discourse which is absolutely ironic, not only towards art, but towards the discourse of art.
O sea, el discurso crítico.
The critical discourse of art. What I liked in this work was that confrontation between classic art, which is represented by Germain because of his love of literature, and then contemporary art, which is defended by Jana, his wife. And plus, I think it was quite an enjoyable way of talking about all of this. And that conservative side of Germain, who is a person who's not open to modern art, who tries to be kind to his wife, but at the end of the day, he disdains what she does. I think it was interesting in the work, but I wanted to finish the film when Germain is there in front of a contemporary art installation almost, and it's as if he was reconciling himself with all of this. I don't know, how did you see this one? Undoubtedly in the film, and perhaps in the theater or in the play, there's a conflict vis-a-vis the vision of art, which mainly have to be resolved by each spectator or viewer, and the audience, or the at an individual level, encouraged by that conversation vis-a-vis art, should ask what type of work of art they're seeing. To a certain extent, what I'm seeing is there are two visions vis-a-vis art in the characters of Jeanne, played by Christine Scott Thomas, and Germain, played by Fabrice. I understand to a certain extent that for Fabrice, for Germain, has a vision which is tragic, a vision of art. In each work of art, the world is at stake. Flaubert, for example, when he mentions Flaubert, he uses the word Flaubert, it's as if he entered into a cathedral, so to speak. Art is above the world and saves the world, whereas in a certain way Jeanne has a vision, so to speak, a bit more enjoyable or postmodern, shall we say, of art. you transit through art, art is there, can be used to play, as if in a game. That confrontation can provoke the meditation of the spectator watching the film upon the character of the film that they're watching. Because just like the twins consider that the art presented by Jean is art for ill people, people can think that this is a film which is a degenerated, a film for ill people, a film for sick people, which deviates from the great classical type tales. But the fundamental element here is, it seems to me, that that fight or battle can be used or is useful for what was demanded by Fabrice. And I think that he has contributed an extraordinary image when he talked about the different experiences that each of us complete the word canard or duck, the word duck. I think François Ozon's film returns to the spectator his or her sovereignty, and that's extraordinary and that is magnificent. Vis-a-vis cinema, which is turned, which deals, treats the spectator just as a mere consumer, and that's quite simply encourages a certain anxiety and immediately satisfies them. A spectator here, whoever watches this film, comes out of it, the film, with hunger, hungry, so to speak, and as if the film has gone through them, him or her, and completes it in such a way that at the end of the day, not only have we got done in the house or dans la maison of François Ozon, but dans la maison or in the house, the film of each spectator, a person who sees it. And that's great film. And that obviously has got to do with school and education. The great two fields of the film, the two spaces of conflict and encounter, are the house and the school. All right? So therefore, when I think about school, I always remember a great phrase by the German Walter Benjamin, the great philosopher, who's between the lines, he's quoted. Walter Benjamin says that school should not be the place of the domain of one generation upon another, but the place of encounter of two generations. And that, I think, is shown extraordinarily in the film. There's an encounter between two generations. Let's say it's a film upon fathers, parents and children, upon teachers without heirs, and a young people that don't receive, that don't have anything to inherit. So therefore it's a film upon people that have a tired look and people who are learning to look. And so the place where you can restitute all of that is school, and school turns into a place of resistance, a place of resistance. And I believe in this sense, the film delivers beautiful moments, and undoubtedly the final moment is extraordinary from my point of view. Thank you very much for your answer. I would like to know, vis-a-vis how the story is resolved and the character at the end, the teacher, whether there's any association with the end of the cabinet of Dr. Caligari, with the character of Dr. Caligari, whether this was conscious or unconscious on your behalf, or this doesn't exist. Well, I've never seen the cabinet of Dr. Caligari. I've never seen it. No, not at all. What happens in this film of the cabinet of Dr. Caligari? The cabinet of Dr. Caligari is an icon of German expressionism, which finishes. Yes, yes, I know. Yes, yes, I know that. And the character goes crazy within a lunatic asylum, and one doubts whatever happened in the film happened in the mind of the character or not. And that's what I saw at the ending of your film. That's why I associated it. Well, why not? It's all possible. For me, everything is true and everything has happened, but then everyone should interpret the ending is sufficiently open enough so that everyone can interpret it as they wish. Who's the boss here? Who's the boss here? Who decides when everyone's sick and tired? Oh, you're the boss. Okay, let's continue. Yes, I'm the boss. Let's continue, okay? Congratulations to everyone involved, to the whole team. Thank you, gratitude for being able to see these works of art because of the different shots and allowing us to enter into this world and to participate. The question is for the two male actors. Ah, there's only one actor, sorry, there's only one actor. Okay. That existential void which accompanies us in life, whether we're conscious of it or not, when you constructed your character in order to portray it, did you feed back in that symbiosis that exists? Your life makes sense because you project in the other person and you look at each other. So therefore, the existential void of Germain. This is extraordinary. What a question. If I was a producer, I'd be terrorized. Because obviously, we're flying very high. We're so high. So therefore, the producer is thinking, God, who's going to buy a film talking about existential void and the problems of the school and teaching and education and tired couples? I respond, dear, and thank you very much. Yes, 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 okay. Let's continue. Please continue. The existential void, it sounds better to me because of my own vital life. I'm a teacher and I understand exactly as a construction, as a teacher, and as a bastion within a rigid system that tries to homogenize everything, and the power of the system which allows very little to struggle, respect and imagination and democracy and participation. Your existential void as a character, I understand it much more. How have you constructed from your own voids, because the adolescent teenager doesn't have a pleasant reality that accompanies him in his day-to-day affairs? How have you resolved that interaction in the construction of your character? Well, the synthesis, an incredible synthesis of your question is the following. They say that you're a teacher, have felt and have been able to experiment, of course, and the difficulties that exist in this homogenization, as you've said. You're talking about my void. Well, an actor works with what he or she lives, because Joubert, a great man of theater, says we are only comedians of the man we have in us. So therefore, the void of Germain, that void that he feels, is a void that I know that I've not had to create, and I also have such a void that I've had to carry out 30 years of psychoanalysis to overcome. And like Woody Allen says, well, I'm getting a little better, but what I want to say is that that void that you're talking about, and it moves me very much that you saw it in the film, but an actor, the only thing he or she can do is to alternate, offer, not offer. That is, they alternate between what the full and the empty, so to speak. I like those characters and roles very much where there's a depressive background. It's much more easier for me to play those roles, because in that way, perhaps I can play the existence and the difficulty of different existences. It's depressive, but in the same time, it's enjoyable, because otherwise, the idea is not to have made a psycho and now an analytical film. Otherwise, the producer would probably commit suicide. What's quite clear is that I've used my own desperation. Perhaps I'm exaggerating, I don't know. But it is true that I've used my own void. As Dostoevsky said, man is a mystery. There's another magnificent phrase by Selina who says, the soul can only feel warmth by its own mystery. It's all linked together, but it's quite obvious that an actor uses his existential material. Here in this case, he uses the intrinsic uprooting, a mesophytic of why am I here? I don't understand a thing. Why am I here? We're obliged to, and not having been obliged to do so. No, it wasn't too difficult to use this void, what I would call that vacancy, that void. Last question, please. Last question. The boss has said last question. Okay. Initially, just a brief or a very slight observation is no, the producer shouldn't be frightened because the film is not that hermetic and sealed that may seem as after this press conference. No, it's not at all. Another thing I wanted to ask the director is whether in the original work, play, is that the level of humor and irony that you've introduced into this film to desacralize those deep issues that you're are addressing in the film. And on the other hand, you've talked about teachers, and I'd like to know or ask you the influences of your of the teachers, filmmaker teachers. For example, I saw Hitchcock, I saw Chabrol, I saw Woody Allen himself turning around in some of those images that I saw. The first question was, yes, whether there's so much irony, whether simply you've used, introduced your own perversion. No, I founded my daily perversion in Juan, so therefore, quite simply, I wanted to adapt it because when I discovered the work, what I liked above all was that enjoyable, ironic side of things, this way of making things easy, things that are very difficult, existential issues or questions that link to your partners with education and art, but all of this in a very enjoyable way and focusing upon pleasure. That's why I wanted to demonstrate that creation process, to allow the spectator and the viewer to the audience to allow the audience to enter into the person to enjoy and to also see the run, the risk of manipulation when someone is a creator and works with live matter. I've got the impression that I've found all of those elements, that all of that was already in the work. I've not invented this. That was already there in the original work, and that's what's very pleasant when we're adapting all other authors' works. What is very pleasant is to find something once. When I adapted Fassbinder, I said the same. I was under the impression that I discovered in Fassbinder's text things that I also had within me without being able to express it. And Juan's work has allowed me to develop something that perhaps was underlying in my work and perhaps has come to the fore. Has come to the fore because it wasn't my text, it allowed me to be a bit distant and express myself better. And my second part of the question, I'm the translator. Who are your teachers? Why? Yes, of course, she saw Woody Allen and so on and so forth and Hitchcock and so on. Yes, I want to remind you, who are your masters and teachers? I'm taking the work away from the interpreter, but what can we do? That's the way it goes. Okay, there are many filmmakers that were very important, that have been very important for me here in this film. And when we, as the film finishes like this, it does, people think about Hitchcock. People think of Hitchcock and In the Rear Window. And all of Juan's text adapts extraordinarily well, and also there's an air of suspense, which is another issue that was developed very well and enormously in by Hitchcock in all his work. And also, yes, it's true that we've also thought about Woody Allen vis-a-vis the couple and with Fabrice and Kristen Scott Thomas. In my mind, I had Woody Allen and Diane Keaton in the 1980s and 1990s, that's that couple of intellectuals that talk about their lives and that through other stories and so on and so forth. Yes, I'm not too sure whether you'd thought about that, Juan. Let's say Germán and Jana, no, Woody Allen and Diane Keaton, no, you hadn't thought of that. Okay, well, we did with Fabrice and Kristen Scott Thomas, we thought about them. I want there to be the same rhythm, that's to say, to emulate, so to speak, that pleasure between the couple of talking about themselves, and at the same time to feel completely blind as regards to their relationship, because we're not talking about the absence of their lividness in their existence, being the protagonist. That would be for another film, which would be the sexual life of Germán. So, Juan, you know, you've got to write the sequel. Thank you very, very much.